we stop, we go over there, do a brief survey. And so we just finished up the book of Galatians this morning. And so jumping back to Acts chapter 18, we're going to finish out the chapter, Lord willing, tonight. This is, be honest, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, but do we all have certain passages that we kind of run to sometimes and think about, consume us? This is one of those passages. I'm going to be honest with you. Apollos is who we're going to talk about tonight, and of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but how he worked through Apollos. But Apollos has always been one of the most interesting people in the Bible to me, because we don't know a whole lot about him. But we do get a brief snapshot of his life in Acts chapter 18 tonight. And to me, he's a challenging individual. Because when I see what he was doing, it's a challenge for me. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, something along the lines of the teacher becoming the student? That's what happens in Apollos' life. He was the preacher, he was the teacher, but he became the student. And I'm going to tell you guys tonight that all of us, regardless of how old you are, how young you are, we are all to be teachers and students. That as we receive, number one, we're all to be students of the Word of God. And as we learn from God, we're to take that and teach it to other people. That's the commission, is to teach other people to walk with Christ the way that we have been taught to walk with Christ. I know sometimes we think in this dichotomy of well, we're either teachers or we're students, but the reality is for believers, we're to be both. And Apollos was certainly an example in being both teacher and student. So if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. We're going to read a few verses together. Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 24, the Bible says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him in unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Let's have a word of prayer together tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray tonight that you would help us to know you better, or that we would love you more as we look into your word. God, that we would have a burden, a desire to serve you, to obey what you've given us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, lead us to repentance when we fall short. We thank you for the grace that you offer through Christ, and ask us in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here in Acts chapter 18, we jump back in and we are introduced to this fellow named Apollos, who is only mentioned a few times in the scriptures. And this is really the best picture that we have of him. And I want you to notice just a few things about this text tonight. Apollos was a man who was busy for the Lord. Apollos, it tells us once again, look at verse number 24 with me. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. What was he busy doing? He was busy preaching and teaching what he knew. Now we're going to dive more into this in just a second about what exactly he knew, but I want you to just think about this for a second. That Apollos did the best he could with what he had. And there's something to be said for that. I know a lot of times, when I went to seminary for 6 years, and I almost got my 5-year degree. But we spent a lot of time talking about things that we don't know. And I'm going to be honest, I spend a lot of time now talking about things that I don't know. I've got questions. And if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, sometimes we can focus so much on things that we don't know that it causes us to be lax in the things that we do know. At least that's a danger for me, maybe not for you, but we see here Apollos, that he was busy for the Lord. He was preaching, he was teaching. The Bible tells us here that he was a Jewish man from Alexandria. Something just to realize about this individual, Apollos was very bright. He was, Alexandria, if you're not familiar, it was essentially, I don't even know what to compare it to here. Take away all the terrible connotations to Harvard that exist. I mean, it was a place of higher learning. Apollos was a well-trained individual. He was eloquent. He was great in speech. This was the kind of guy who, when he gets up, you're at the edge of your seat because you can't wait to hear what else he has to say. He could keep an audience. But best of all, the man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. This was a man who was filled with the Spirit, preaching what he knew. But he was somewhat limited because the rest of that verse tells us that he knew only the baptism of John. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he only knew the baptism of John? So look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What was John the Baptist preaching? He was preaching repentance. Now, you guys, stay with me here for a second. Jesus, he did not begin his public ministry until 30 years of his life had passed. John the Baptist had been preaching for quite a while, I believe, before Jesus came on the scene. John was a well-known guy. He's out in the desert wearing camel hair and eating bugs. Like, people knew about him. And they would go, and you think about the contrast that existed in that day and age. You have the scribes and the Pharisees. You remember one of the things they said about Jesus? When he went in the synagogue and he began to teach, they marveled because he taught as one having authority. The scribes and Pharisees would get up and they would read, and the idea pretty much is this: it was just monotone. They'd read it and they'd. But then Jesus shows up and he opens the scroll to Isaiah and he says, "This day this has been fulfilled in your ears." And Jesus is teaching differently than what they were teaching. But you realize that leading up to this, John was preparing the hearts of the people for the Messiah, and so you have this contrast of the religious leaders who didn't really even believe what they were preaching. And you've got John out in the wilderness who is preaching his heart out and telling people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's almost here. And people were responding, and they were trusting in the message that John was preaching. What was John preaching? He was preaching repent. The Messiah is coming. You remember John chapter 1. John, he bare witness, cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He who cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me." John wasn't taking any of the credit for himself. He wasn't saying, "Look at me." In fact, he was saying, "I must decrease and he must increase." When John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John wasn't looking to promote himself. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. John was trying to point his people to Jesus. And he's preaching repentance, and people would go out and they would listen, and many people were being saved. And I believe that Apollos, the Bible tells us here that he knew only the baptism of John. I believe that Apollos was one who either heard John's preaching or heard one of John's disciples. And like many other people, it's possible that John was preaching for years before Jesus ever began his public ministry. And there's no telling how many people believed the message that John was preaching to repent. And Apollos was one who heard that message, and he believed that God was going to send a Savior. And John believed this message that God was going to provide salvation for his people. And he was looking and he was trusting in that promise. And so Apollos, it tells us he's from Alexandria. I'm not sure why he would have been there in the first place. The Jewish people traveled to Jerusalem all the time for for the Passover, for different things. And so Apollos is there. Nonetheless, he hears this preaching, and he trusts the message. And then he goes back. And what does he do? Well, the same thing that he received, he starts telling other people. John the Baptist is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's Apollos doing? He's going back home saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's relaying the message that he received. And listen, John the Baptist was just relaying the message that he received. And just a side note, any good preacher is just going to relay the message that they've received. And if you guys want to come to my house this week and just hear my thoughts and my rantings, I'll give them to you. I'll be glad to. Give you all my thoughts on the world, how to fix things, and none of it's probably any good. But I don't want to do that here tonight. I want to tell you what this says. I want to look at it together. And so John receives this message from God. He's telling people to repent. Apollos he believes this message. And back in our text, it says that this man Apollos, he was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. So he travels to Ephesus. But this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. That the word fervent, it means this. He was bubbling over with excitement. That's what that means. Listen, can you tell when somebody is excited about something? Can you tell when somebody isn't all that excited about something? Listen, I think we all have experiences with salesmen, right? It's usually pretty easy to tell which one of them actually likes the product. Listen, if you're trying to sell me something, let's pick on some Girl Scouts tonight. I don't want you guys to throw stones at me, but I think Girl Scout cookies are really, really overrated. Don't think they're that good. Like, they sell them outside of Walmart. I could go into Walmart and buy a better cookie for a lower price. But no offense if you're a Girl Scout, or support the Girl Scouts. Listen, if you come up to me and you're like, hey, you want some of these Thin Mints? Hard pass. No, I don't want those. But if you come up to me and you're excited and you say, hey, listen, I got this new box. Have you tried these? These are delicious. I just had a whole row myself. If you're going to get them, you got to put them in the freezer to make them even better, right? Oh, yeah. Amen, right? Listen, I'm interested then. I just think that we do a disservice to the gospel when the way that we relay the message is dull and boring. I think people see through that. It says that Apollos, listen, this is worthy enough of our attention that God had it preserved in his word for 2,000 years so that we would know that Apollos wasn't just preaching John's baptism, he was passionate about it. He was passionate about it. Then the question is, well, I want to be more passionate. How can I be more fervent? How can I be more passionate? I think harder to do than to know, but I think it's fairly simple. Just invest yourself in it. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to know why you're not passionate for the things of God? It's because your heart isn't fully in it. But you start investing in something and you start caring about it. My favorite example is Jerry Jones. He's been ruining my Dallas Cowboys for 30 years now. He didn't care a thing about the Dallas Cowboys until he paid money for them. You know who's the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan now? Jerry Jones, because he's invested millions of dollars into that franchise. Listen, I'm telling you, if you want to care about the things of God, invest yourself into the things of God. Put your treasure there. But Apollos was fervent. He's preaching the Spirit, but he was somewhat limited, preaching only the baptism of John. So look what happens here in his life. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him in unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The Bible's full of some unsung heroes, and Aquila and Priscilla, they're up there. Everybody can talk about Paul and all that Paul did, but if it wasn't for people like Aquila and Priscilla encouraging Paul, maybe Paul doesn't have the same impact that he has. Aquila and Priscilla, were heroes of the faith. And what they do, think about what they don't do, first of all. Aquila and Priscilla knew about Jesus. And they're in the synagogue, and they see Apollos, this man who's preaching, and he's fired up, he's excited, he's telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Aquila and Priscilla don't go over here and whisper to each other, listen to this heretic. He's not even mentioning the name of Jesus. No, what they do, they went and took him unto them. They invested in him. They pulled him aside. Praise God for people like Aquila and Priscilla who would take him in and invest in Apollos to teach him, to show him. You know, one of the things that we talk about sometimes is, let's be real with each other tonight. You guys ever notice that some people join the church and we never see much of them again anymore? I'm convicted by this because Aquila and Priscilla were the type of people who would see someone and take them in unto them and teach them and pour into them. We're all going to be accountable to God for our own actions, our own choices, but I think that we have a responsibility to be like Aquila and Priscilla here and see people and take them in unto us and share with them what someone once shared with us. Aquila and Priscilla only knew what they knew because someone had told them at some point. Like I said a second ago, we all need to be taught. What I love here is Apollos' willingness to be taught. Because we talked about it in Sunday school today, us teenagers. I don't know about the everybody else here, but us young people. Us young people. Sometimes we struggle with pride. Anyone else? A couple people here. There's something to be said for being teachable. And I don't know how this happens, but I think a lot of us, if we're not careful, we get to a place, we become so spiritually mature that we no longer stand in need of being taught. Listen, Apollos, you know what he could have said? He could have said, I've led thousands of people to trust in God. I'm going to the synagogue, I'm preaching. I'm faithful, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't even know who you guys are. But when Aquila and Priscilla come to him, Apollos, not only do they take him unto them, Apollos is willing to go. And he's willing to learn. And this is this picture of as we're pouring into others, we need other people pouring into us. And they begin to teach him, expound to him. And this is good. Notice this. They expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. That phrase is good. The way of God more perfectly. Well, what is the way of God? You know, before people were called Christians, remember what they were called? They're people of the way. Look over in Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Acts chapter 22, verse 4, real quick. Paul said this, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. Paul said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Before people were really called Christians, the way is what they were referred to. And you'll recall in John chapter 14, verse 6, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way. And so what exactly are Aquila and Priscilla telling him? Think about this. Apollos knows the baptism of John. He was there and he heard John preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's telling people to repent, repent, repent because the Messiah is going to come. And Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside and they say, hey, listen, it's Jesus. He is the way. They teach him the way of God more perfectly, more completely. Jesus was the completion of the promise that Apollos had trusted in. Apollos had put his faith in this promise that God was going to send a Savior, and he's preaching this, and Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside, and they say, listen, he has come, and he died on the cross, and he's back alive. He's already back in heaven now, but his spirit is here. And they begin to lay all this out for Apollos. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him in unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly or more completely. Look at verse 27. And when he had disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showed by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we started off tonight looking at verse 24 and how Apollos was faithful with what he had. He knew only the baptism of John, but what he knew, he was preaching and telling other people. He was faithful with what he knew. And at the end of the chapter, what do we find him doing? He's still just being faithful to what he knows. But his understanding has grown. And we talked about this afternoon right after outreach. How that's how that works. It says these disciples, they were to receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. He was preaching and teaching the promise. And now he's preaching and teaching Jesus, and he's helping them in the scriptures. Biblical preaching is helpful. I mean, this is a small thing it mentions here, but it says when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. I mean, how did he help them? He helped them, it says. He was in the scriptures. The greatest thing we can do to help each other is just point each other to this over and over again. Apollos was helping them. And it says he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so many of these preachers that we read about in the book of Acts, that's what they did. You think about these Jewish people who they looked to Abraham and they looked to Moses and they looked to all these pictures and they believed in them. They thought that they were good because they were Abraham's descendants. And they knew the scriptures. Like the Jewish people knew the scriptures. And so what Apollos does is he takes the scriptures and he shows them. It's exactly what Stephen did right before he got murdered. It's exactly what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. He took the scriptures and said, look, Jesus is the fulfillment. Abraham and Isaac, it's a picture of Jesus. The ark is a picture of Jesus. The year of Jubilee is a picture of Jesus. And he can go all throughout the Old Testament because all of the scriptures are about Jesus. Every book, the song we sing, Christ the true and better. He's the true and better Adam. The second Adam. By one man sin enters the world, but by one man's obedience many are made righteous. And from Adam all the way to the New Testament, it was God preparing people, God working to prepare the people to recognize the Savior. Why did God require all the sacrifices? So that when the sacrifice came, they'd recognize him. But unfortunately, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And that's us today, right? If you're a child of God today, it's because you have trusted in Christ. The Christ that God promised. In the book of Genesis, when he told Adam and Eve, listen, the serpent is going to bruise your heel. Well, the serpent will bruise his heel, but he will crush the serpent's head. from that promise all the way through. God promised a Savior, and God delivered on that promise when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Christ went to the cross, and He died our death, and He was dead. But He's not dead anymore. Amen. He's alive. Amen. And now, man, this promise that Apollos is preaching, showing them that Jesus was Christ, that Jesus was the anointed one. Jesus is the one. It's exclusive. Jesus was Christ. And I'm thankful that I can trust in Christ tonight. And I hope that you're thankful that you can trust in Christ tonight as well. Amen. And that God has given us His Word. And this text that we looked at tonight, Apollos, it's really about the Scriptures. It says He was mighty in the Scriptures. He helped people when He preached. He showed people that Jesus was the Christ out of the Scriptures. Aren't you thankful that God has given us His Word? Amen. That we can gather around tonight? Amen. That you can read tonight before bed? You can get together with your family? You can, we live in 2023, you can listen to God speak on your phone while you're driving down the road. What an incredible blessing we have to have His Scriptures. But the challenge for me, I began tonight by saying that Apollos is a challenging man, and here's the reason why. Because he was faithful to God with what he knew. And how many times, let's just be real tonight, musicians, you can come forward. You guys can all stand with me. But how many times are we not faithful because we have excuses? Like, well, I think about evangelism. We can come up with all these questions. Well, what if somebody asks me this? I don't know the answer. Well, listen, if we wait until we have all the answers to be obedient to the command to tell people about Jesus, then nobody's ever going to hear about Jesus. Like if you're waiting until you arrive at this place of spiritual knowledge where you have all the answers, it's never going to happen. But what we have to do is we have to be faithful to what we know. And He's made it simple. He's given us His Word so we know what He wants from us. We got to be like Apollos and be faithful to what we know and be willing and ready to learn more. Because if we're faithful to what we know, God's going to teach us more. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to sing together tonight.